free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. Actress Lisa Vicari started acting at quite a young age. After appearing in a few student films, she made her feature film debut in the post-apocalyptic film Hell in 2011. For three seasons, Lisa portrayed Marta Nielsen in the much-lauded science fiction series Dark. She followed that up with international series Django and can soon be seen alongside Idris Elba in season 2 of Hijack. We talked to Lisa via video call for this interview. Lisa Vicari, welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. You've played a terrific variety of roles in your career so far. But I would probably argue no series was more discussed than Dark. And even though it's been a few years since Hell came out, the film proves itself almost clairvoyant in its regards to climate change. Scarily so, I would say. But before we dive a little deeper in these two projects, I want to start off with a few questions about you and your work. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming an actor?
I started quite young. I developed the wish to become an actor when I was like around 9. I think that was the moment when it sparked for the first time. And then it took me, you know, a few years to really get into it. I think the first time I was really on camera acting was when I was around 11. Mm-hmm. It was in a short film. It was like an application film for the HSF München, the film school in Munich. And that's kind of where everything started. And I did a few short films and then it grew from there. And yeah, I'm still very, very happy and grateful that I can do this and call this my job now.
Mm-hmm. How do you choose your stories or commit to the projects?
I think it has a lot to do with gut feeling in the end. But obviously, I take a very good look at the people who you do the project. And I think that's one of the most important things, the people you end up working with, because they create the vision, they are the ones in charge. And also you also want to have a good time while spending so many months and week on a film set. And then obviously the story, I think it depends so much on what kind of character comes to you. But in the end, it's hard to pin it down to, you know, one thing that makes me want to do a project. I think it's a combination of the story, the character, and the people behind it. And then in the end, it's the feeling of, yeah, of the gut, what draws me to a project.
Mm-hmm. Specifically in regards to Dark and also Hell, how did you become involved in those projects or how did they find you?
So when I did Hell, I was still a child. I was, I think, 13 or something like that. And I remember it was a beautiful coincidence because I was doing a short film for a student at the HSF München again. And this, my career comes back to that school quite a lot. And it was a short film called Vicky Ficky by Nathalie Spinet. Mm-hmm. And as I remember it, I think we wrapped that film. And while we were filming, I think the cinematographer of Vicky Ficky talked to someone from Hell and they were looking for the girl in the movie and they were looking for children. And she recommended me or something. And then I went to the casting and I met Tim Fehrbaum and Thomas Röttger. Mm-hmm. And I was very nervous, I remember. And Hannah was there too, Hannah Herzsprung. I was so happy when I finally got the part because I could feel it was something very special very early on. And Dark kind of came to me in a quite classic way of audition. But why I was invited to the audition was also a nice coincidence because I was just out of school and knew I wanted to move to Berlin, but it wasn't planned yet. But I changed agencies to my now agent, Inka Stelias, and she kind of sent around this email to casting directors. And I was like, this is Lisa. She joined my agency. And Simone Bär, the great Simone Bär, the late and so beloved casting director, saw that email and she invited me to the casting. And
wonderful.
That's how it happened.
Yeah. More so than the usual mystery series, I would say Dark shines a light on the complex relationships between people, the influence others have on us and we in return have on their lives. And I would argue Hal does as well. In Dark, you play your character Marta across several timelines. How much input did you have in creating or forming these different versions, let's call it, of Marta? And do you have a favorite or maybe even a least favorite version of her?
So I think to answer your first question, it was just because of the complexity of the whole show and the storylines. I think I was just able to trust the showrunners completely, Jantje Friese and Baran Booda. So I wasn't, you know, having much say in the character's development, which I actually, I'm happy I didn't have to because I wouldn't be able to get the whole complexity of it all. But the beautiful thing was that I could trust them and they had a plan for the characters.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun because it starts from the first season playing a young girl, kind of a love story. And there was a lot of things laying underneath, but my character in the first season was quite linear and didn't have many versions or things. And then it grew for the second and especially for the third season. And I mean, it was the biggest gift someone could ever give to me because I was able to explore this character on so many levels throughout different timelines and different universes and different looks, like wigs and scars on my face. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I couldn't pick a favorite. I think it's like picking a favorite child.
Cool.
But it was, I think probably just, it was just very exciting to explore a different universe version of a character, which is so unique. I don't think I will ever get the chance to do that again. So it was just a big adventure all together.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, a lot of different timelines and back and forth. You probably talked about this before, but how did you and your colleagues navigate all of that? Did you have a certain process for that? Thinking of the crime boards, like, you know, and there's a line going down and, you know, arrows back and forth. How did that work for you guys in the day to day?
Oh my God, I still remember when I got the first scripts, when I got the part, and I think I was able to read the first episode, the first four episodes or something.
Yeah.
And I was sitting at the kitchen table at my parents' house. I was just, I mean, first of all, I was just inhaling them like in one sitting. And then at some point I was like, hey, I don't understand this. I need to write it down. And then I started drawing these family trees. It was instinctively, it was like a move that I did back then before. And then I saw when the show came out and I saw so many people from the audience did the same. And there were these websites that you explain everything to you. I mean, it is complex, but we had the big advantage of having Baran Booda, you know, one of the creators, and Jantje Friese, you know, very close by. And they were always there to answer all the questions and kind of on a landline to explain. And the good thing is, like, I only really had to focus on my own characters in the end. That was complicated enough, but it's so fun. It's like solving a riddle and it keeps you on your toes. You never get lazy. That's a really good thing.
Definitely. You mentioned lots of audience members doing all these intricate things, but also there's been a lot of theories. What is it really about? Some say, oh, it's a, you know, straightforward time travel mystery, or it's just a sci-fi. But I feel that's a bit of a simplification. You were such an important part of the series, obviously. What would you say was the main theme of the series for you? And maybe now looking back on it, has that possibly changed?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question, because I think the show, it connected to so many people, even though it's set in a very small town in Germany, but people all over the world kind of found a way to connect to it, which is such a beautiful thing. And it makes you wonder what's the thing that makes them all stick to it. And I think there are multiple answers. I don't think I have the one. When I think about the show, I think it's the story did a very good job in, I mean, there is the sci-fi element, there's a time travel element. Obviously, it's like a very big part. It's the mind fucks of, oh my God, who is connected to who. But I think in the end, it's about the characters and it's about love, I think.
Yeah.
It's about deep love and complex love and also impossible love.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about also about the, I mean, the beautiful side love, but also about the very dark sides in every person and betrayal and all these facets that make us human.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about the humankind, and the name is Dark. And I think it is about the dark sides of people. And also the big question, is everything predestined or not? Do we have a say in our future, or is it all like already done? And it's, you know, the big questions of life that we probably ask ourselves sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very profound topic that also on a scale,
yeah,
which is so big, it's about life and death, and it's about life. And it all sounds so broad when I'm talking about it. And then it's all these big, big topics that are very intense and can be very overwhelming also, kind of brought back to characters mm-hmm. in a small town. And each one of them is battling their own demons. And yeah, I think it's about the profound questions of life.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a pretty good answer. Film, obviously, is a very visual format, and Hell has such a specific look about it in regards to the world it depicts. And you mentioned earlier that you were about 13 years old. How did that come across for you?
You know, when I think back to the time when, before we started filming, I just remember that it was like a big topic of if I was old enough or mm-hmm. mature enough to deal with the topics that are dealt with in the film, mm-hmm. Especially, like, spoiler alert, the cannibalism part, especially like the Jugendbund. Mm-hmm. They took a look at me and they wanted to make sure that I wasn't traumatized afterwards.
Okay.
I remember I was like, yeah, I know it's a film and I know it's, you know, I just really want to do it. Like, please let me be part of this. The visual part, I think I only realized when we were on set and we were filming in Corsica. I don't know if I think it's Corse or Corsica in English, the island. And we were filming there. I think one of the reasons was that there was a forest fire.
Yeah, I talked to Markus Förderman.
Yes.
And he mentioned that. Yeah.
There was like burnt trees everywhere and it was like a dead land. And that's what they wanted for the looks, which I think is a brilliant idea. And it looked really cool. And we were in these, you know, very dry landscapes. And on top of that, they were blowing wind with sand in our faces 24 hours. And everything was very dirty. And I loved it. I loved the dirt makeup. And yeah, I think that's the moment I really realized, you know, the visuals. I think I was a bit too young to understand it reading the script. And then obviously in the end, with the color grading and how it looked, it still surprised me when I saw it, how special it just was.
Yeah. You already mentioned that a little bit, the cannibalism and themes. It's a horror film or apocalyptic horror film. For you personally, leaving aside the Jugendamt, et cetera, was that something that you thought about as a plus or maybe a negative factor, or something that maybe you discussed with your parents also? Should I do this?
Oh, I was so drawn to the dark materials. I don't know where it came from, but I was always interested in things that are a bit more hardcore or dramas. Or I wanted to push myself and I wanted to explore that side. And I remember, I mean, obviously, as a child, I also wanted to do the children films. And I did one. I did Honey and Nanny, and it was so much fun. I think I was looking for things that are a bit more hardcore. And I don't know, I wanted to explore where I can go also, I think, emotionally. And I think that's the first glance that are the more challenging characters, which I think now growing older, I'm like, okay, you know, doing a really good comedy or acting very light is also can be very challenging too. Yeah. I was drawn to topics like this and I still am, I think.
Talking about emotions, in the center of the story of Hell, I would argue, is the human connection between the sisters. Given how harsh the world is in which they have to survive, how did you, and maybe also together with Hannah, how did you guys keep your emotional balance and a certain softness to make your characters accessible to the audience by also depicting how hard you have to be to survive in a world like that?
I think I need to give a lot of credits to Hannah Herzsprung, because she really took me by the hand and she was really a mentor, or still is. We still have a very strong connection and she became like an older sister on set, and she was really taking care of me and she had always had an eye on me and she helped me so much She's an amazing actor. She's so professional. And being able to watch her work at such a young age, I really learned how I want to work on a set, what kind of actor I want to be. And also the other rest of the cast, I mean, I can't believe that I was able to work with these people. And it was just a very loving set, how I remember it. Still, if I meet people from Hell, from the crew and from the cast, I think everyone felt like it was a very special project, and we still feel very connected. And yeah, it helped to feel safe on a set as a child and with a topic like this, even though there were scenes that obviously were a bit more challenging and hard to go there, or sometimes even brutal. But around that, between the scenes, I felt very safe. And my mom was with me on set. Like, it was a very wholesome experience and connects me still a lot to the people that were part of it.
Do you have a favorite scene from Hell?
One of the scenes that I remember a lot, because there's a scene where I get taught how to drive, mm-hmm. because they need my help to drive a car. And I still, it's so funny because I have a license and I drive the car. But I remember how I just didn't understand how it worked with the manuals.
Oh, and okay.
It's kind of cute to see the first time on screen, yeah. like how someone explains to me how to drive a car. But also like the very intense scenes of just being thrown into something as a child and just doing it. And now after, you know, coming older, like realizing what we did there is very beautiful. But I haven't seen the film in a very long time. I think maybe I need to rewatch it.
Do you have a not favorite, but maybe what's the most important part for you in regards to the process of filming, the prep or the actual shooting? Or do you say it all sort of fits together for you?
I mean, I love being on a set. I think that's why I do all of this. It's like the moment in front of the camera or on set with the people working there. Obviously, like prep is very important and very fun, but I really always look forward to the moment when I can just do it and when the cameras are rolling and when people are focused and it's this silence that you don't find anywhere else on set. And it's just, I don't know, every time I am not on a set, I miss it. And when I am there, I'm like, ah, this is just great. It's the little moment. And it's not even taking up so much of my job in the end. Yeah. It's so much around it. There's so much process of auditioning for things or doing PR for things. And like the actual shooting time is such a short time. And I cherish it a lot.
In regards to prep, are you a list person? Because that's come up in the past quite a lot with other people in regards to how they approach characters. Some do playlists or others do even like diaries. And I remember reading an interview with someone who said, oh, you know, I have like a perfume for each of my characters, sort of. So I, you know, I smell the scent and I'm sort of, I know, oh, I'm in character. Is that something that you do, or are you more cerebral in your approach in a way?
I am sometimes a list person. I do love a good playlist for a character. I love playlists in general. I love music, so it's a big part of my life. So I think it's a great approach to get it kind of into the subconscious of where does the character lay, what kind of music do they listen to, what puts me into the mood of the character. Sometimes it's just one song, but sometimes it's a whole playlist. Also, I'm a big mood board person. I'm quite visual. So I love adding, like sometimes I just go and look for any pictures that feel like they're in some sort connected to the character. And I don't try to intellectualize it. And I just collect them. And then it kind of makes this bigger picture of what this character could be. And yeah, I think I like collecting almost like random hints and then making it a big puzzle piece. And I think it all feeds into the character in a way.
Is it hard for you to let go of your characters? Because sometimes the process actually filming takes up to several years.
I've realized, but it was more a subconscious thing, that after I've finished a project, I kind of need something to take my body back, or like to power again about my looks. Because I mean, when you do a series, you film sometimes for 7-8 yeah. months, and you can't change anything about your hair or your nails or mm-hmm. whatever small things it might be. And, you know, you can't wear your clothes yeah. that often, because it's usually like going to set, wearing costume and going back home and sleep. So I kind of have a habit of either changing something about my personal style, or like cutting my hair a bit, or coloring it, like doing something to mm-hmm. regain the power of how I look, which helps. And then I think I process a lot in my dreams. I yeah. just sleeping helps. And I dream a lot about set life and sometimes the characters. And I think that's how I process most of my life, and also in the end, the characters, and I kind of can let them go after a while.
Yeah, I talked to Mala Emde about Skin Deep, and she mentioned that because for the way the whole movie is set up, like her character does have sort of like a final moment, but actually she didn't get to play it because her character was in the body of another person. Mm-hmm. And she realized afterwards that, you know, it's like, why can't I let go of this character? And then she said, oh yeah, I need to consciously still do the goodbye part yeah. because I didn't get to do it.
Yeah, that makes so much sense.
For the end, we have a few rapid fire questions. Is there a particular story or genre that you would still like to tackle?
I mean, as I mentioned, I'm very, very drawn to the dark material. I like a good challenge, and I like to go somewhere where I haven't been. I've done a bit of comedy now, but it's something that I haven't really done, I think, is, and what I would be very interested in is a really good romance, mm-hmm. you know, where it's really about the connection between the people, and it can be very quiet. Things that come to my head are like Normal People, the series, or the Before Sunrise trilogy, where it's just it's two characters and their connection and the complexity of how people connect to each other. I think that's just really interesting in general, and maybe that would be a nice challenge.
What would you say is the biggest misconception about the work of an actor or actress from people outside of the industry?
The big misconception, I think, which comes around sometimes, that obviously like the glamorous part, which it's not completely untrue. I mean, we do have moments where when there is a premiere or something that is very glamorous, and it's a small part, but if you ever visited a film set, you see how it's almost like sometimes it feels like a construction site in like the most beautiful sense. It's just a big group of people and trucks, and yeah. we all go to like Dixie toilets because we're in the middle of nowhere, and that's and it's cold, it's raining, there's just so much that's that you don't see in the end. But I think it's also, I think it's part of why people love, you know, the myth of actors so much. So I understand it, and I think it's also fine that people think it's more glamorous than it is.
How has the work changed over the course of the years? I mean, can be an external change or internal, as in how you personally approach work.
I'm just going to start with what I feel like changed within me, because I've been working longer than half of my life in film. So I grew up with it. And I think that's why also my relationship to acting changed a little bit, because I grew older as a person. I think I accepted more that the projects come to me, and that I can only be prepared, and the characters that belong to you come to you, and the projects find me, and I can not control as much as you maybe think you can. And I think I learned to let go a little bit more of the idea of being able to have it under control. Yeah. And that helps, because it gives it more of a flow. And in general, I think things are moving sometimes in the right direction. Now we have a little bit of a crisis in the industry, which is, of course, very sad to see. But I believe in film. I believe in cinema. And I believe that we always need good stories, and that people will come back to the movies, and we will hopefully be able to produce more stories. And I'm hopeful, even though it's challenging right now for a lot of people in the industry.
And finally, can you share which project you are or maybe will be working on next?
I can't say much about what I'm doing next, but I can say what's coming out next. Maybe that helps.
Absolutely.
Arab Apple TV show, my second English speaking project. It's the second season of Hijack, which is gonna come out soon.
Okay.
And Idris Elba is the lead, and I'm very happy that I got to be part of it. And I also repped a more of a comedy project for me, or like the part I was in. It's Mozart, which is a series. It's about the Mozart siblings. I'm not one of the Mozart siblings. It's a very beautiful ensemble, and I'm very looking forward to the finished product.
And that was it. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.